black. Rust grab doors trail swirls mingling with tentacles of squid just beneath the surface, doodling in their ink, joining the stars.
Thank you, John. And now we have Colin Scully.
I was on the Poem for Ireland website today. There's 10 fantastic poems shortlisted, just in case people haven't been on to them. But obviously Alva's poem, everybody knows Alva, she's one of her own, so I'd recommend everybody get on. She's a great poem on there. Get on and vote for her. This is just a poem for the stay-at-home fathers in the audience. It's called Daddy Daycare. He makes the bed with her in it. She's tired on Saturday morning. His week spent finishing off the ironing. Girl's underwear, sorting panties small at under fives. A smoothie would be lovely, she says. The liquidizer isn't working. There's a fuse blown. He gets a screwdriver from the tool shed, stepping in dog poo along the way. Picking it out of his soul with a dandelion stalk, before fixing the plug and pulping the fruit. Lemon pips and strawberry stems in with the rest, then back to the dishwasher, time to refill. Her mother calls him Mr. Mop. Her brother David stopped asking him, "Are you busy?" His sister keeps on saying, "How are you doing?" with the eyes of a prison guard and suicide watch. And she makes headlists, blown with a kiss as the car swings out of the drive. She disappears to a world of busy people. Will he forget what she said, or do it now? He'd like to pretend he gets splitting migraines, leave the ironing in a charity bag at the door, bring the kids to the country to stay with relations, and send her off to war.
Colin, and now we have Donal.
Sorry, but it's just handwritten. I can't read my writing. We'll get through it. It. What it was, or who did it, was the issue. Even though what it was, who did it, was never important. We all got blamed, and all got the punishment. We were all scurried to bed early. The evening sunlight cracked in through the yard and through those horrible plexiglass round windows. Dad had come in a bad mood and had been drinking. His rage knew no bounds. The boys got the brunt of it. Our energy levels were good for a few more hours, and someone would start laughing. This was contagious, of course, and soon we were all under our covers, bursting our sides over it. The door would bang open. There he stood. A monster we all loved and respected. But the big question of who started it. It, of course, didn't need a start. The nervousness of it all couldn't be contained, even by our gnawing fear. Who was to blame for it? It always resulted in the same lining up in our bare feet on the concrete floor. His belt was already in his hand. He put a stop to it. The weight was more hurting than the strap. I never copped on to get to the head of the cube. The watching as the pain of the blows, everyone on your brother's arse. Your hurt was multiplied by the 8 others who, as they received their dues. Standing in line, watching them bend over his knee, 3 whacks and was all over for them. They rose sobbing, not crying, pulling up their pajamas to cover their red bums and their little immature hard dogs. By the time your turn came, the blows stang, but not as painful as those that went before. "That's the end of it," he said. "I'll have no more of it, or else." We sobbed some more in our pillows until someone started giggling again. It was off again.
Thanks, Donald. I've not seen you here before. I do hope to see you again. Thanks. Now we have Patricia Watch. Thank you, Rosie. This poem I wrote 2 days ago. It doesn't have a title, but just bear with me. I panicked and it brought the house down. Another useless fable to song she chose. War to war failure, a voice in the wilderness. Falls and plugged ears, a convenient lie. Tucked in under the cover of darkness, a lullaby soothes the truth of redemption. Practicing hermits have the inside track on what is good, a walking magnificence. Cut off or break it, a feast technology. Professors pack the streets wanting sundry improvements every day of life. A tenuous supposition to make life worth living. Just in case I return to you slipshod, castellated in my own comfortable shell, will you accept me? I am Caitlin Mudd, en route to the wedding feast. Am I forgiven for not dispensing with luxury so fine? Or standing naked before you, divest of externals? A single drum punctuates the street protest. I am obliged to look, drunk by sorrow. Make a better life for yourself, or so it is said. Foundation of glory, 1,000 things. On the wish list, improvements abound, and the one thing worth striving for. A stranglehold in the senses, panic buying, rush to the bottom for dear life. Watch the world go by in all its forms, for good or ill, a squeeze in existence. Falling in love with the next common denominator that splits our ways and atom divided. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. And next to that, the man sitting beside you, Seamus Harrington.
A few years ago, I was visiting somebody in a very old hospital and saw 2 guys sitting in wheelchairs at either end of a corridor, staring at one another as if it was going to be a shootout, waiting for a space to pass, I reckon. So, gave rise to this, called it High Noon. Cocooned in a gown of dragons, staring, he sits in the hallway, right thumb on a wheel rim, Marconi fading away from the remote day room TV. The other one, cumbersome, dissecting his cardigan, a sandaled foot on each wrist, a waft of brown soda, pungent and poignant as cordite. Unaware of the danger, a patron at peace with the world plods between the parked chairs, puckers his lips, pockets a tissue of teeth. Kaleidoscopic wall hanging, the stained slash of sunlight, seraphic, sacred and silent. Unblinking, they face one another. Who'll draw that first bead? 20 chrome revs apart, derringers still trousered. A clumsy bedpan bongs, clear as an angelus bell, two right hands lift as one.
Thanks, Seamus. And now we have Simon.
The first one is called The Other Side of the Bed. It's written as a tanka, which is 57577 syllables. Your hip now replaced, I moved across to your side, sleeping face to face. In hospital still, I tried sleep. Came slow in its embrace. Stumbling narrow gap, you could not walk with your frame. As you heal, operations cap, cement and steel melts as pain over time lessens firm gates back. 14 days have passed. Life's routine, watching you sleep, facing my side. Lasting memories, creaks and creaks, loving, hoping, worst pains past. And the second poem's an up poem. You asked me to write a poem about love, our love, and what it means. I was at a loss, scared not to do justice, to give enough of myself to justify the poet's because. I was drawn to my ancestral land, Russia, where toasting in social convention is lifted. The vodka ritual breaking barriers, dusha, a spirit bond, can force the heat of fusion gifted. You, my sun, the brightness in my day, bathes me in warmth despite the shadow of nature's clouds, giving me more in every way than I have ever had before we became avowed. What we are and what we can be is more than I ever hoped for, what I always hoped for. Somewhere in subconscious depths I knew I'd be with you forever. A dream realized, futures, hopes, a shared call.
Thanks, Simon. And now we have Sean Bent.
So I wrote this about a year and a half ago for a writing competition, and I forgot all about it afterwards. And yeah, so I thought I'd read it and give the light of day. It never got back in the day. So it's called The Actor and the Visionaries. Person meets a person. Romantic abstractions with laughs. Vivid colours, dreamy arcs, conquered obstacles. The director surpassed herself, I thought. Better by far than her last. Her film offered visions of future times. A set of expectations to live by, where empty hands are filled and people smile and gaze in the eyes of partners till light subsides. Inspired by forms of another's creation, I wrote a script and judged interpretations. But you were a natural, threw away the chains of cliché, couldn't bear to feel a strain. And then I dreamed through a worn movie reel of resolution at a final scene. Bitter people practicing smiles at evening. dressing a withered tree in second-hand leaves. Awake, I wander in circles, return to the place I first heard it, the words of one who walked this way, her eyes had burned, walking towards the light, never looking behind, never concerned.
Sean, and next up we have Anton.
You're witnessing the deflowering of someone now, because this is my first public reading. This is called Phoregon, who's my son, and he grew up in the Middle East, in Cyprus. So we're going to go somewhere warmer than we are today. This the boy, bare-skinned, deeply tanned, tousled hair bleached, his radiating curls like the rays of the sun, and a child's every day is summertime drawing. These the days when hayrick giants cross barefoot fields, harvesting childhood sunshine. This the country, the hillside vineyard slur the summer haze, where the still air clings to citric suns ripening, and cicada trees keen the overheat in ever mesmerizing echo drones. This the land, dry as olive bark, parched as powdered chalk. A scorpion is a medallion of stone, and under Byzantine domes, shouldering the press of noon, the golden icons of the risen Lord glow on whitewashed walls fringed by monkish pines. This the island, the moving seas, sails testing the angle of the wind, desires pitching like ploughed reefs caught in the reels of the sun. These the memories, like sea creatures sifting the silences, like pliant sponges wedded to the rocks beyond the reach of breathless divers.
First reading, Anton. I don't believe you. You read that like a pro now, I'd say. Next up, Mike Creedon.
Okay,
congratulations, Anton, my neighbour. I'm really proud of you. He's a brilliant artist and is a neighbour from home. Really delighted. Just sticking by five word, I rarely miss it. So, metaphorically speaking, your body is like a bucket which is catastrophically enveloped within its own discrepancies, careworn with metal fatigue. So allow yourself a bucket list for one last fill of pleasure right up to your brim, and don't blame your ironmonger or the tinker that tapped you or the silversmith who repoussed you. It's your lot, knock the last shake out of it before you're whole for good and bailing out a sinking ship. But let those beading bubbles wink from your wink at your brain. That's it. So this is brief. I know this 3 minute embargo. So this is for watching The Watcher, which I have a tendency to do. And it's a little bit in about Dali and Vermeer were prone to ensnare themselves within their frame, and Rembrandt play that game. So it's about seeing a picture with the photographer trapped in the picture. And it's called Closed and Shuttered. In glimpses watched the watchman, freezing frames of time. In earshot he searched not, money shot, frisong the magie noir enshrined. Embedded in the cat club, panther of night whispers, oblivious to invisible faces, camouflaged by nukes and loafers. No beauty here to beckon or bid him, nor will he catch so swift to sketch. But then, think again, his silent radar has global reach. Slick fatigues of black and leather, I think you all know what I'm talking about here. slinking soul walk seals to a seat, still as polished by endless waiting. Gravity's plumb line sinks so deep, dropped from cap button through spine to cable underground. Sonic senses room's mood and sound. Iris lenses synced and shuttered, convergent tracks, oculomotorized, lids flutter. Process filter, cast away and shed. Then snap, you too in framed on shelf. So I got him a name myself. That's the photographer. Thank you.
Step nine, for now we have Mr. Groovy, Kieran McCartane.
That was the nicest introduction I've ever got. This is a sonnet called Movement Resistance. I want to sign for a minority. I want to sweat in those forgotten fights. I want to be the new priority and wave a flag for my rejected rights. I want to sail against the wind in song about the pride that's burning deep inside. So that my child will see where we've been wronged and stand with shoulders chipped, weighed down and tied, and raise our fists to the blue jeering sky. Our time will come, we'll have our slice of pie. And nowhere will soon have a homely hue, for we have moved so slowly, it feels new.
For a fleeting moment, and it's you've probably heard it before. I stare at those ruby red lips and salivate for the final time, unwittingly, unwillingly. You bid me good day, and as the dust parts with your suitcase, my world parts with me. The only warmth I feel inside now is the wonderful afterglow of this fine scotch. Yet I long for you. And you know as well as I do, I'd pack this all in, this existential malaise, for one more fleeting moment with you. Those moments of heart flutters in the throes of original sin, love, passion. This is the monologue you'll never hear, my dear. The words that could have saved you. But no, I sit here on the balcony and watch you as you wheel away in slow motion. A change of heart. But as I race towards you, I hear a bang, and my whole world goes silent. I violently shake as I hold you one final time. The crimson trickle rolls down from your eyes and fuses with those elegant ruby red lips. As tears stroll down my face tonight, my dear, and your heart no longer beats, let it be known that mine shall beat eternally for you. The words that could have saved you, but for a fleeting moment.
And
now we have Cedric. Okay, so this one is called Breath for Search Chi. The Breath for Search in algorithm is basically the search for the cheapest path, opposed to the depth of search, where you try to go as far as possible in one particular path, and then go back if that was a better mission. So, cough. One breathe, two be. One breath, two breathe, four exhale. One breathe, two inhale, four exhale, eight grow. One can catch it, two inhale, four expire, eight grow further. 16 branch out, blow up. None of them realize they could be 32.
Thanks, Cedric. And now we have Orla.
Yeah, my second name is very long, so I don't ever write it down. I'll do a couple of small little ones, I think. These are portraits. The first one is written by a man. She's sitting in the bar in a practice pose when I walk in, pen in hand, composing rhythmic romantic verse with all the hope of black lines through whole paragraphs. She's grown quiet of late in her newfound dedication, as if the answers needed perfection. But I'm just here to remind her that it ain't no sin in the holiest part of art is to take off your skin and dance around in your bones. So, that's a little one. This is my portrait, and this one is by a child. The first night we slept at different ends of the corridor, though we both left our doors ajar. I was pretty sure he was smiling, maybe even wondering if I might be the kind to pose in the nude, but I wasn't in the mood for posing. In the morning, blue light bird in a wire, I finally plucked up the courage to be rejected. Later, looking in the mirror, I wondered maybe it was my childish reflection, but if so, then both of us were deeply flawed. This is called The Art of Nirvana, if I can find it pretty quickly. Maybe I can't find it. Oh yeah, there it is. Okay. When I was a little girl, I learned to fight the tenderness that made me cry. It became a way to survive. Now I wear my hair short and whistle winds of Bob Dylan's Changing Times and watch grey clouds blow across July. Don Juan's restless doors rattled to low notes played on chimney tops by the angry man of jazz himself, a misty morning classic for cold feet to dance to. I find this poem in the words of a book left open on a page from the time you were here, reminding me to keep it real, renounce all barriers between and be daring. I wasn't even brave, but willing at least to explore the simple tenderness of my head on your chest, listening to the prophetess of punk herself sing Nirvana. I tuned to the difference of our heartbeats. You were the steady one who kept mine skipping like an old record, listening for the words of a song to make a whole new generation of lovers make holy taboo.
Last one, Orla. Now we have Thaddeus. Tadge. I'm very glad.
I like it. I might use that one. This one's called Today. And it is today. Evading images, evoked. I invoke my muse to speak of mud on the back of a shovel and count boulders and stones to fill a hole in a field. Filling in my time, my turn to own and work this piece of countryside, undoing what the last guy did. Who will me undo? And still it isn't last time done. But passing through this time and space, the pain in my back, not the first in this place, the sweat, my salvation, my only hope of staying some way sane today. And maybe that's what it's been to all in the long line of who's been here. Smelling of this earth, being saved, being nurtured. Thanks.
lovely.
Thanks, Rosie.
Poetry dentist.
Poetry dentist. So I read a Swag poem last week because they've been nominated for the Godlike Genius Award from Enemy. And when I sat down, I realised, the poem told me it's not finished. So I went home. It was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So the first half is basically what I read last week. So if you're here last week, feel free to doze off during that section. So please wake up for the second half. So it's called Streetlight. When the rain falls quiet loud, a new generation feel electricity. Modern boys and graffiti women picnic by the motorway, and head music colours the asphalt world. They're so young, these lazy painted people, that the big time is only one hit to the body away. But black or blue, trash or cheap, every Monday morning comes and the sounds of the street break down the wild ones and remind them that Saturday night may be the perfect day, but this Hollywood life makes beautiful ones pantomime horses. But it's still life for the heroine, the bony, bored, Bentswood boys. For diesel drowners digging a hole, the can't get enough crackheads, who feel wonderful sometimes, yet feel the weight of the world always. Like moving refugees, Metal Mickey and Dolly Down stay together as high-rising drowners, as the living dead, until a sleeping pill's ovation of have you ever felt this low, down the barriers, and the next life of campfire songs by the sea, Indian strings and everything will flow, says, this time you belong to me.
And now, for the last person on the open mic, we'll have Joe Hart. Yay! Good evening. Would you like to hear some Joe Hart? But first, I'd like to invite everyone for another Mutant Cabaret. Some of you already know or already been there, liked it. And for those who don't know, it's an experiment which backbone of which is electronic music band, generic people, and there are artists invited to cooperate with them on the basis of improvisation. And it would be poets, visual artists, or God knows who else, because these guys who does the thing, they really have imagination, and you know, anything can happen. So I was one of the artists on the last Mutant Cabaret, and it was my pleasure and honor to be among such personalities as Emily Davis Fletcher or Julie Gu or Terry Dineen. But there is one fella I'd like to mention, because he's playing harmonica, and he's brilliant. He's one of the techniques he's using is a similar technique to mine when I'm playing on Joe Harp, circular breathing. And he's gonna use, as I heard, effect pedal as well, which would be a looper. So I'm really looking forward to hear him. And here's some Joe Harp. Sorry for talking.
When is it?
When is it? When? It's the last Thursday of the month. Last I did it. Yeah.
Well.
The roundy.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Rob.